Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I am your host, Pastor Scott Morton. We'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 2. We've been looking at verse number 19, which says, "For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" And we've been looking here at the things is the Apostle Paul has been writing to this assembly at Thessalonica. We left off last time dealing with the issue of where Paul says, you know, what is our hope or joy? And the whole idea of the joy that the Word of God says that the members of the body of Christ should have. And we left off last time, actually, after we laid out some things about that joy, we were contrasting it with some of the things that the scriptures say related to the joy that the nation of Israel had, and how really the scriptures identify that individuals who are following the program that God has laid out in any dispensation, that joy should be present in the life of the believer. We can look here as we pick up looking at this issue of the joy and relating it to the nation of Israel. Let's go over to the book of John. We'll go to John chapter number 15 here and see what the Lord Jesus Christ is going to say to the disciples here as he's speaking to them. And here in John chapter number 15, we're going to read verse number 11 here. And it says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." So as he's been teaching them some things, and as you look through the Gospel of John, you see how there's a long dissertation that the Lord Jesus Christ is giving to the apostles prior to the crucifixion here, laying out some of the doctrine that they need, and you see how he's declaring to them that he's been teaching them these things that so that way his joy could be in them, and he identifies that their joy would be full as a result of them having this information in their life and having an understanding of what it is that God wants for them to do. And you see how after his resurrection, he opens their eyes to the scriptures so they can have a full understanding of everything that you read in Genesis through Malachi, so that way they would be able to have that full knowledge, and as a result of having that full knowledge, the joy would be present in their life. We can see how, if we go over to the book of Psalms now, let's go to Psalm 4. And we're going to see something that David is going to write here in this psalm about, you know, what it is that he is looking for here. And here in Psalm 4, we're going to read here verse number 7. It says, "Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increase." And as he's speaking here, he's speaking to God and talking about how that this gladness, this joy has been put in him. As long as we're here in the book of Psalms, let's go over to Psalm 33. And we're going to see again, this theme is going to continue speaking of this joy through these psalms here. And here in Psalm 33, we're going to read here verse number 21 in order to see what it is that is being said here. And this is one that we don't have an idea of who the author of this psalm is. But here in verse 21, it says, "For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name." And the result of why it is that they're going to have this rejoicing, this joy, is because of the fact that they're rejoicing in his name. That they're putting all of their things in what it is that he will do for them. Now, we know from the book of Psalms where it talks about that he's magnified his word above his name. So you can see how if we start tying these things together, where it is that the joy, the rejoicing should really be coming from them. In fact, we can go over to one more passage here in the book of Psalms. Let's go to Psalm 100 now. And we're going to see a statement that's going to be made here in this psalm related to their relationship with God here. And it's the very first verse of Psalm 100 says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." So as they're worshiping God, it's called a joyful noise that's supposed to be coming from them. It's not supposed to be, you'll see this when sometimes when you hear individuals sing a hymn, that you see how, it seems to be this, almost kind of, well, I guess we have to do this, and there just seems to be no emotion coming from it. That idea of that praise, there's supposed to be a joy that comes with them. Let's go over to the book of Proverbs. We're going to go to Proverbs chapter number 10. And we're going to look here one more passage related to the things really written to the nation of Israel here. And here in Proverbs chapter number 10, we're going to read here verse number 28. And it says, "The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish." So we see how this issue of speaking of their hope. Now we know if we're speaking of the nation of Israel, we know that their hope was the fact that they were looking for a literal, physical kingdom to be established here on planet Earth. They were looking for the Messiah that was going to come, that was going to set up this kingdom, that was going to be sitting on the throne, ruling over the nation of Israel. These were the things that they were looking for, and this was their hope, and what it is that they were, expecting was actually going to be present for them. And this is, they know from their scriptures that this is what's coming, and that they're supposed to be gladness. They're supposed to be rejoicing in these things because they know the truth of what God's word really says for them. Now, when we look at, for us, the members of the body of Christ, and knowing that our hope isn't a literal physical kingdom, but our hope is related to the fact that we're going to be ruling and reigning with him in the heavenly places. We don't have those physical blessings. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We have a different gospel message than what was given to the nation of Israel. Our gospel message is the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And when someone puts their trust in that, and that alone, they're saved. They're a member of the body of Christ, and they're going to be part of the promise that's been given to us, the body of Christ. And being part of that is what should produce joy in the life of a believer today. And unfortunately, what happens is that believers today, instead of having that understanding and being focused on what knowing that reality of the hope that we have, that individuals get bogged down, start to focus on the things of this earth, the temporary things that have too much of an impact on their life. And you see how Paul, in his epistles, really does deal with this fact of that these are the things that we're not supposed to be focused on, that we're not supposed to be letting to have that level of an impact on who we are. We see how Paul starts with it related to the prayer life of the individual. If we go over to the book of Philippians, we'll go to Philippians chapter number 4 and see something that Paul says about not only what his prayer life is like, but related to how the prayer life of every member of the body of Christ should be reflecting what it is that he's saying here. And here in the book of Philippians chapter number 4, we're going to read here verses 6 and 7. And it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now, so we see this issue of, as Paul's describing, saying, be careful for nothing. Now, a phrase that we would use today to describe this would be telling someone that they shouldn't be anxious. They shouldn't be worrying about things. Because the reality is that instead of being focused on those things and letting it become a worry or becoming, you know, anxiety provoking, that it's supposed to be in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving to let your requests be made known unto God. So in all situations, the good and the bad, there's prayer and then the thanksgiving that goes along with that. And the result of that is going to be what you see in verse number 7, that the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That there's a peace that comes from God that keeps a person in a position to where they're not going to be worrying about things, that they're not going to have the anxiety that comes from any of these things that a person might be worrying about. So as Paul lays these things out, he tells the believer, this is how you're supposed to be demonstrating your prayer life. And it's in everything. And that's another thing that individuals struggle with, because they'll turn and say, well, we're only supposed to pray for spiritual things. Paul doesn't say in every spiritual thing. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything. So all things that are going on in the life of a believer should be turned over to God in prayer and thanksgiving in order to receive that peace from God, which is going to keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's what we are supposed to be doing in order to be functioning properly as God intends for us to do. We can see how Paul's going to describe this further. If we go over, you know, turn over one book here to the book of Colossians. Now let's go to Colossians chapter number 3 here to look at how Paul's going to be describing what our focus is supposed to be on. And we're going to read the first 4 verses of Colossians chapter number 3. When it says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And we see how Paul, as he's laying this out, lays it out to where he challenges the individual who's reading this about, you know, if this is what your identity is. And anyone who has put their trust in the gospel message is identified with the death, identified with the burial, and identified with the resurrection. So the reality is, if ye then be risen with Christ, that's a reality for any member of the body of Christ. And so since that is a reality, then what we are supposed to be doing is seeking those things which are above. We're to be setting our affection on the things above, not on the things on the earth. You know, that's where our focus is supposed to be. You know, even though we live in a fleshly body, even though we have to deal with the problems that come about here on planet Earth during our life, our focus is to be on the heavenly things. And if our focus is on these heavenly things and being able to deal with these earthly things by turning him over to God, getting that peace that comes from him by turning over with prayer and thanksgiving, then we're functioning in him. And the unfortunate thing is that, you know, it's easy to say this when things are going well. The problem is when things are not going well. When the problems come up in an individual's life, it makes it more difficult to be able to do these things. It's not impossible, because God says and gives us the exact instructions on what we are supposed to do. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. And we're going to see something that Paul's going to say here about dealing with these issues. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, we're going to start here at verse number 3 and read down through verse number 7. It says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation." So as we see Paul describing this and writing to this church at Corinth, you see how he starts with this idea of that God is the God of all comfort. That there's not a thing of where, you know, God can comfort some things and not others. It's very clear that Paul's saying he's the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulations. So no matter what the problem is, we have a comfort that comes from God. And we have that comfort because we're to be using that same comfort that we have to be able to help other individuals to see the comfort that God's providing. Now, we know that God is providing the comfort for us today through the Word of God. And since He's providing that to us through the Word of God, this is how we're going to help other individuals be able to have this comfort, to be able to deal with those individuals and not look at it as a, you know, the tribulation is that it's going to be a thing of worry that, okay, well, these things might be going on, but I know that it's all going to work out. And because it's all going to work out,
I know that everything is working out according to, you know, exactly what God would want it to be, and because it's going to be working out in a manner that's consistent with this program and this dispensation, I know that I have that comfort and I can have the joy that God intends for me to have. And I know that things are working out that way because when I look at, for example, a passage, I'm going to read here Philippians chapter number 1, verse number 29, where it says, "For unto you it is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." So the idea is that the members of the body of Christ are going to suffer for his sake. There's going to be suffering that's going to go on. You know, it's the life which we have where Israel had that promise if they were doing right that they were going to have all those physical blessings and things were going to go well. We do not have that promise. We have a promise that instead of things going well, that there's going to be suffering that's going to go on. In fact, as Paul describes and talks about what's coming at the end of this dispensation, when he writes in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, he talks about how that all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And then he goes on, as he's already described and laid out the examples of the persecution that had happened, and identifying that persecution led to things of, you know, up to death. You know, people take persecution today and make it as, well, you know, someone called me a name, so I was persecuted for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not persecution. Persecution is the true physical sufferings that were going on that could lead up to death. Now we see how Paul, if we go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, is going to say something here about this idea of these sufferings and how it's going to tie in with the joy based on what it is that he's saying here. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, I want to read here verses 17 and 18. And they say, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And this is one of those things where, you know, in the moment when you're dealing with this situation, it's hard to have a description called light affliction and talk about how it's something that's temporary. But that's the reality of things. If we look at what has been promised to us of the fact that we're going to live and reign with him in the heavenly places for all of eternity, a brief period of time that we're going through a suffering compared to all of eternity is but for a moment. It's not something that lasts for something that can ever outweigh what that eternal promise that we have. And that's where our focus, if we are truly thinking about the things that God has laid out for us and thinking about those eternal things that have been promised to us, that's where we can have that true joy that the Word of God actually lays out. The joy that's identified as being part of that fruit of the Spirit that is supposed to be there for us. Those things that we should understand as we study the Word of God rightly divided and take the doctrine in, then we can have that full understanding of what God wants us to do. Now, when we pick up in next week and continue looking at this, we're going to start contrasting that idea of the joy that the Word of God says and compare it with the idea of happiness that the world is actually set up and how those two things really are two completely different thought processes. One of them related to what the Word of God would say, and one of them has nothing to do with what the Word of God actually says. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday services. We have information about how to watch our Sunday services live as they're broadcast on Facebook. We also have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study as well. And as always, if you ever have any questions, comments about anything you hear in these broadcasts, anything you read on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. Our contact information is also on our website as well. And until next time, keep fighting the good fight of faith, preaching this gospel to this lost and dying world.